Every single VC, angel, early seed investor that I've spoken to have been crazy about it's got to be the right team. That if you don't have the right COO, the CEO with the vision, the CTO that just has that, the core pieces in place, not that he just has development skills, but that he knows how to run a tech team. He knows how to just have the overall vision, that you don't, that you have everyone that's focusing on their strengths and everyone is aligned within their positions within the company. If you don't have that, then they're saying, okay, great. This company is going to do well with a different team. So you better change that before you talk to me next. So it's critical, 100%. So, I mean, finding those co-founders is just absolutely critical.
Welcome to the How to Build an App podcast. We started this show to help app founders refine their idea, build insanely useful apps, scale it up, and change the world. This podcast is brought to us by you and your ideas. We fund this podcast from our full-service app development agency, Strides Development. When you're ready to build an amazing app, we can help you take it from idea to a finished app in a few months. Right now, we're offering a free strategy call to talk to you about your app and give some direction when it comes to building it. You can book your call at strides.dev. That's strides.dev. Hey, welcome back to the How to Build an App podcast. This is a first of a two-part episode to wrap up what we're calling the first season of How to Build an App.
So far in this season, we've talked about different things you need to consider as you're trying to turn your big ideas into finished apps. Today, we wanted to recap a few highlights from our first 9 episodes. And tomorrow, we're going to cover episodes 10 through 15.
This is actually a lot of fun, and we're really excited to run through this just because in the past couple of weeks, we've seen a huge jump in our listeners. So if you're listening for the very first time, this might help point you in the right direction to which episodes you should check out first.
As we walk through our first season, we actually brought back one of our favorite guests, Brian Springer. Brian introduced us to a lot of the guests we've had on the season who have become good friends with. He recently joined forces with Eric Espinoza and the crew at Venture Validator from episode 4.
And they've launched a new program that is a great place for founders to start going through the process of building their app. They call it Launch to Legacy, but we'll let Brian tell you more about that.
So we just recently switched over our Launch to Legacy because I know that right at the very end of the phone call, I go, and by the way, we just switched our model because we were with AIN, and then we recently integrated because we really wanted to be the full platform for startups to give them affordable consulting options so they can have support every step of the way. Because how often does someone have an idea on a napkin and also a shoestring budget and say, like, currently I got like $200 in my pocket, but I don't know, maybe I'll look for some funding because maybe they'll give me money. But then the investors say, great, what type of scalability have you proven through your target market? They're like, come again? What do you mean by that? So they go, no. This is what you need to do. You need to validate your product. You need to figure out who your target market is through a customer avatar. You need to start building a marketing strategy on that. You need to start building traction. And then let's have a conversation. So we look at all those steps and we go, well, all the consulting out there, it's $5,000, $20,000, $50,000 to take your company from this level, to launch, to really grow, to scale, all that. And they don't have that type of money to start off with, usually, unless you just have some trust fund and you happen to have $50,000 in your pocket, or you're going to put a HELOC on your house.
Yeah.
But that's not reasonable for a lot of businesses. So we wanted to start at an entry point as low as $24.95 a month to provide them with on-demand strategy advisors that can really help them every step of the way and get their business in place and get their business up and running. So that's what we've been working on these last few weeks, and it's been really exciting.
Yeah. And I think to like, just like you said, I think for a lot of people, they don't have an idea of like where to start, where to go. And so the whole point of this episode is to basically combine all of season one and really just go through and give people just quick pieces of advice at each and every one of the steps. And so just like you mentioned, before you start anything, you've got to validate that you have a market. Cool, it's fine that you were able to find this problem, and it's even better that you think you have the solution. But just because you think you have a solution doesn't necessarily mean you do. And it's super funny because all of these, you know, new tech founders will come to me and be like, hey, I've got like this, there's a super awesome problem in the market. I've got this super awesome solution. What's it cost to build? And I'm like, one, I have no idea. Two, I think your solution is subpar. Like, how much, like, how many people have you talked to? What don't I know? Uh-huh. And that first call is all about discovery. Like, what have you done for marketing? How many people have you actually talked to? A bunch of different things. And after that, then I really tell them, you actually need to think a lot more about this because you have zero idea of what you're getting into. And so what are some things, Brian, that you think, and you probably know more than even myself and Beaudry, like what are the most important things that you've got to do in validation and got to figure out?
Probably the reason why I know, potentially know a little bit more than you guys is because just recently I did join forces with Eric Espinosa at Venture Validator, yeah. Which is super exciting. So it's just such an awesome company. So doing that as well. And the interesting thing about it is more often than not, when I talk to people who have the idea on a napkin or they've just barely launched, they're trying to gain traction, but they're just clawing every step of the way, is they go, well, I've already mm-hmm. validated my product. Okay, great. What does that mean to you? Like, how have you validated it? And they go, well, first I reached out to friends and family members and I told them my idea and they said it was good. I'm like, of course they told you it's good because they're friends and family. And then they go, well, but then I also called my neighbors. Yeah, people that know you. And then they go, well, and then I also just looked up the random phone pages and started calling people. And then I go, okay, great. Well, that's a mm-hmm. little bit more objective, but when you talk to him, did you say that this is my friend's idea or just some person's idea that I was thinking of? They go, no, I said that it was my business. Exactly. They still don't want to call your baby ugly. Mm-hmm. So they're going to just sugarcoat it and they're not going to give you objective data that's really going to help you on figuring out how you're going to launch, how you're going to put the market analysis together, the marketing strategy, and whether they're mm-hmm. your target market and if they even want to buy what you're selling. So when you're putting that together, I always recommend if you're at the point of idea on a napkin, look into the option of validating your product. You can totally just try to soft launch it and throw some stuff out there and see if it sticks to the wall. Maybe some will, maybe it won't. But really my suggestion is always just have a conversation, see what people think objectively of your product or service, and then that will give you a little bit better of an idea of, is this something that I should probably fork out 20 grand, 100 grand, a million, depending on what you're wanting to do? Or should I go, let's cut all the cord with that, you know?
Yeah.
And only have been invested only in, you know, a couple $1,000, right? There's a big difference.
That's exactly right. And you're not going to lose your house.
Yep.
And that's a big thing. It's like, I always tell people, it's like, I don't want you to like do this because I don't want your money. It's just like, I don't want you to waste your money. I don't need you hating me because you spent all of your money and your livelihood on an idea that just isn't going to go anywhere.
So how I kind of got my start was interesting. It's through a lot of failures. It was actually back when I was a student at BYU. My first idea was an app idea, and I thought it was going to be a $1 billion startup like everyone does. And turns out it wasn't. And so I'd done a lot of the quote unquote validation where you go and you talk with people and do interviews and do some surveys, some focus groups. And I had so much confirmation bias and I was so untrained in actually running that validation that I got all the results back saying that, yeah, your idea is going to be really successful and everyone's going to like it. You just now need the money to go, you know, build something. And I kind of felt like I was in this conundrum where it's, I had a cool idea, so I thought, but investors wouldn't invest in me until I had proof, yet I didn't have the money to go get investors until I had proof. So it's this kind of catch-22 where you can't really do anything. And it was at this time when I actually really dove into my validation. I had a mentor who really just grilled me, and I looked at things differently. I said, okay, instead of trying to prove myself right, because, you know, so many of us entrepreneurs, we're the little guy, we're trying to prove that we're right. I looked and said, can I prove myself wrong? And I started looking at how was I not validated? And
people don't do that.
People calling their baby ugly, and nobody wants to hear that. And so whenever we hear somebody dislike our idea, our automatic reaction is, well, they're stupid. They don't know what they're talking about. They're wrong. And it's often the case that they're not. And so we just got to go find the right customers and get that feedback and, you know, be intellectually honest with what the market would actually treat that.
Eric, what I know we had chatted before. What was another name that you were thinking about calling your business before? Do you remember what that name was?
Yeah. So my business is called Venture Validator, but my wife's always been on me that I should really change it to the real name, which is Dream Crusher Inc.
Well, it's hilarious because so many times we talk to people that have good ideas, some that have not very good ideas, but people put their heart and their souls into these ideas. Like, this is their life, this is their baby, this is everything. And so they just fall in love with this. And that's what's passionate is really what drives entrepreneurs, right? You have to be passionate. You have to be able to claw, dig, and push yourself to the next level. But at the same time, sometimes you need to hear that your baby's ugly, right? Sometimes you need to know so that you can, because you may think it's a great idea, but it might not be.
Right.
And so that was like our first episode. Our first episode, or one of the episodes that we hit really hard on and actually enjoyed, was validation. But once you've gone and validated your product, now you've got to figure out how to actually like visually put the pieces together. And so that brings us into the next thing that you've got to do before building a tech company, or really just like any software product, is you've got to have a design. You've got to have this idea of how people are going to interact with the app. You've got to know where what things look like. You've got to know the user journeys and different things. And so what I kind of want to hit on, Beaudry, is, Beaudry, I feel like you use a lot of different apps. And so what are some of the things that you kind of look for, like just in design, or different things that people should like be aware of?
Yeah. And we talked to a lot of people, and honestly, it's one of those things that we offer is we do the design. You talk to Brian, yeah. Brian's our designer on our podcast. Some people think they want to skip the design. Right? Like, oh no, I already have wireframes. And Brian's even shaking his head like, no, like you don't. Because honestly, people are like, let's just get this built. First off, is it validated, right? That's our big thing. And honestly, I doubt there's a lot of developers out there are like, hey, let's validate this idea. I mean, people are legit offering us to, hey, here's some money, go build this. And we say, hey, wait, before we take your money, let's make it sure it's a good idea. But the other thing is they're just like, hey, go build this. That's like saying, going to a contractor and saying, hey, I need you to build a house. Okay. What do you want? Well, I want a bathroom. Oh,
okay. Yeah, well, that's funny.
No, we need, and honestly, and we have people coming to us saying, hey, build a house. Dude, we got to have blueprints. We got to like have a design. We got to like decide what we want. Do you want 1-2 bathroom, 3-car garage, 2-car garage? What's your budget, right? And we won't be able to tell you anything until we have a design. And it's so frustrating. I know people want to come to us like it's buying a car. Hey, I want to buy a car. I have this much money. Give me the car. No. You're coming to a manufacturer of a car and saying, okay, perfect. What type of engine do you want in it? How many seats do you want? What type of transmission? We need to build this thing out. And so that was why I really liked our design. That's really, and Brian says, it not only does it help us understand as developers how much it's going to cost, but it also creates that magic, right, within an app. When you want a magic and a feel for it. I mean, how many times have you been in an app and just was lost? You're like, all right, this is dumb. I'm out, right? I see that cheap app.
Lots of time.
Like, really, that's what it comes down to, is design for cost. Like, we need to know what to build. We need the roadmap. And we also need the user's journey. We want to make it feel like magic. And it's something that you can't look over when you're building these tech companies, or when you're wanting to build an app or anything like that.
I think when you can open an app and it feels magic, apps are positioned, again, to solve a problem. If I can open the app and solve that problem quickly in as little time as possible, like, that's an amazing user experience. So companies that do this really well, ones that I think about are like Stripe. That's a payment processing platform. They nail the user experience because they make it so easy for a developer to come in and process a payment within a few hours. Whereas before Stripe, that was a year-long process to process a freaking payment. So Stripe, and Stripe has very little interface. Most of their stuff is code. It's examples. It's documentation. It doesn't have much of an interface. They do have an interface, but it's not much. So Stripe is a great example of kind of a great user experience. A bad user experience, again, it's one that overcomplicates it. It puts barriers in between you solving your
problem. So if I'm an app and I'm thinking, okay, what's next? That's a bad user experience, right? Like, where do I go from here? Like,
how do I go? or if you're, you know, if there's an error on the app side and it's not communicated properly, things like that. So like Austin and I have worked on apps in the past that were basically feature stuffed, but so they're very unfocused. The key is to like try, like get your app to solve a single problem first and then branch out from there. Everyone wants to be Facebook and have a billion plus users and do everything, or Amazon and have tons of different features. But the thing is, when you're starting out with a small app, like, you know, Facebook, their first thing was like, let's make, it's basically a dating app. Like, tell me if you're single or you're dating. And Amazon's first thing was book sales. Like they were there to sell books. And they've since grown out from there. So, a lot of bad user experiences happen when your app is not focused and solving a kind of a singular problem.
Yeah, and also what I've noticed with that is lots of times someone who says that they want to build an app, they're either a software engineer or they have some sort of expertise when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. The challenge, though, or they're an entrepreneur, but there are different challenges with both of them, because let's say that they're an engineer and they go, yeah, I want to do this. They typically don't know how to articulate that to a development company like you guys. Are like, oh no, I just wanted to be like this. Okay, well, let's talk about the user experience, like the user interface. Like, what do you want to do to give it that soft touch? I don't know. Like, I just want it to have this functionality. But if it only has the functionality, and if it doesn't have the pretty buttons, and if it's not very smooth, and if there's not that user journey like you were referring to, the whole user story, then it's not going to have that adoption. People aren't going to continue to use the app. So that's why it's 100% absolutely necessary that whether you're doing a mobile app, a physical product, SaaS, anything like that, the UX, the UI, all those things are massively critical, because I can think of so many times. I mean, for example, I won't name names, but I used to work for a large, large company, and our user interface and our user experience was horrid. And we were a multi-billion dollar organization that had been around for almost 20 years. And it was embarrassing how terrible it was. So really that's just super critical. But the thing is, that's just got to be that basic natural step that you got to do before they bring it over to the likes of Stride's development or whoever.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's super funny just because like, design, and I don't know, maybe this is just me, but it's like we'll have people even just come to us and be like, oh, I've gone and designed this and I think it looks like amazing, and 9 times out of 10 it looks terrible, and I've got to come up with a gentle way to be like, that actually
he's not gentle he's just like, oh, this looks like it's made like in the 90s.
Well, and it's funny because so many developers will just go and like build it. And I'm like, I don't want to put my name on that. I think that looks like, and maybe that's just like the millennial Gen Z and me just coming out of like, man, I just don't want to work on something that looks terrible.
Brian, one of the things you talked about is like, sometimes these people come to you as like designers, sometimes they're developers, sometimes they're just entrepreneurs. And one of the things we had in our podcast with Garrick is he talked heavily about a team and how important a team is. Being in your background of, you've seen companies get funded.
Hey, Garrick, I got this really cool business that I want you to invest in. What are you going to look at first on paper? What is the first thing you're going to look at?
I'd probably look at the team myself. If you have a team with a successful track history, I'm going to invest in the team.
Really?
Got it.
That's actually pretty cool.
Ideas come and go, and I think it's, you know, part of the French, but like, it's a crapshoot on whether or not a product's actually going to work. How many awesome products out there flop? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you have a team, demonstrated success, I think that's a much more sure thing in my mind.
Even on top of any financials, you're more focused on a team. So let's say they do have a good team. What financials are you going to be looking at? Are you looking at kind of revenue structure, gross margins? Like, kind of what is the most like, hey, we need to focus on this as a team?
you've been part of it. How big is it for the right team for investors to want to like invest in or even just be successful? I mean, what have you seen in that side of it?
Every single VC, angel, early seed investor that I've spoken to have been crazy about it's got to be the right team. That if you don't have the right COO, the CEO with the vision, the CTO that just has that, the core pieces in place, not that he just has development skills, but that he knows how to run a tech team. He knows how to just have the overall vision that you don't, that you have everyone that's focusing on their strengths and everyone is aligned within their positions within the company. If you don't have that, then they're saying, okay, great. This company is going to do well with a different team. So you better change that before you talk to me next. So it's critical, 100%. So, I mean, finding those co-founders is just absolutely critical.
And it's so funny. We were even having a conversation today. I think we were actually in the middle of another episode. And it was like there are three things that you've got that a typical founder needs to have or needs to find. And it's like this triangle. And the first one is marketing. The second one, it would be a technical background. And then the third one is going to be sales. And what's crazy is a lot of people think that it's better to try and do all of it. And at the beginning, it's fine. Like at the beginning, as you're trying to figure things out and you're in the early validation and design phase, like do as much as you can, like save money. But at some point, in order to really scale, you're going to have to find people that complement you. And a lot of business owners really struggle with this. Like it's your baby. You want to be a part of it. You want to make sure no decisions are made wrong. But as you're going and building this company, you've got to find people that you work really well with and that complement you. So it's super important to build a team. And so you've got to make that. So up to this point, we've talked, you know, validation, design, team building. Really the next big thing on that list is marketing and having a plan. So in general, like how can we build like a solid marketing strategy? What do you guys think?
Well, I was just going to say, we actually just got off another episode where he said the day you start developing, you should have already have a marketing plan put together before the first day of development, something like that, right?
The time to start thinking about marketing is not the day you go live in the App Store, you know? Yeah. I'll use the example when after we did our Kickstarter campaign and we had a lot of success with it, it was like one of the most funded campaigns. It was on Kickstarter. Now there's a lot more, but we would have people that would hit me up all the time and they would say, hey, I just published our campaign. It's been live for 2 days. Can you help us market it? And I was like, man, you are 6 months behind the ball, you know, because especially on a campaign, like you make your money, all of your money on a campaign like that. And I think this is similar with any product or launch, like your money is made in all the work you're doing for 6 months leading up to it. And so that's, you know, a Kickstarter campaign is a good example for say like an app launch or something, but when you're launching on Apple, that's not the time to start thinking about, hey, how do we get customers? You want to have already been communicating with your email list of 500 or 3,000 people for months. And then you let them know, hey, it's live. And they all go, I'm kind of surprised how many people think in marketing, like they have the, if you build it, they will come approach. And like, I commonly talk to people that have, you know, probably gone to somebody, you know, a group like you guys and spent their life savings building an app, probably an awesome app. But then they come to us and they say, hey, we've done the really hard part. You know, I put up my, you know, I got a home equity line to build this product.
So yeah, I'm really familiar with that episode because I really enjoyed that by Shane. And what I really enjoyed about that one is not only on day one, you got to be marketing, because I was thinking, wait, why the heck do you want to create some elaborate marketing strategy when you haven't even done any dev or haven't even done any like validation or anything like that. But then he clarified and said, no, what you want to do to just do really basic marketing is at least throw it out there and just start building some emails and getting people who are interested and start sending out drip campaigns and like get 50 emails of people that are possibly interested in your idea. And then you can at least get something started on that, start getting some traction, as opposed to, hey guys, I just wanted to let you know, I went live on the crowdfunding platform today. So, hey, marketing company, can you help me? Like, whoa, no, you're not going to have a successful funding round. Really like, this isn't going to work. It's going to fail. You need to come to me 6 months before you even go onto your crowdfunding platform. So yeah, I mean, some level of marketing you should 100% do, and you should always make sure that you have a really good idea of who your target customer is, that key demographic, and the figure out the problem that you're solving, why your solution is better than other people, and just really what difference that you're making, and figure that out at the basic core. And from that, you should be able to generate some level of marketing strategy, even with $0. And then you can just start throwing out some organic marketing posts on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and just see what happens and see if you can start to generate info.
I would say, weird, Brian, how do you get all that information? Oh, that's right. Step one was validation. You validated. Therefore, you should know what you're – that's why step one is validation. Step two is design. Step three is team building. Then it's marketing, right? You got to have those things in there.
What's super funny is, like, for those of you listening who, let's say you don't have a business idea, somebody was chatting with us earlier this week, and they're like, my form of validation is I just went up to Google searches and went and saw some of the most top ranked Google searches and realized that there were problems there. And so I went and solved my problem because of how many people were searching for a solution for that one thing. And so for any of you out there who don't have a business idea and you're looking for something, take advantage of it. Like, there's a ton of, like, you have access to Google Trends, different things. And that can be like a way for you to not only validate your idea or validate that a problem's there, and it can help you, you know, start a new business or something. Sure. But that's super funny.
Cool. Well, no, and I agree. And honestly, it really comes down to following these steps. And there's a reason why we have the order, right? The validation, step one, design, team building, marketing. Next is going to be the legal structure and strategy. And we did it with Jeff with intellectual strategies, right? Jeff's an attorney, Jeff's an MBA. Mm-hmm. That's kind of was a weird combination we had with Jeff, which, by the way, Brian, you introduced us to Jeff, right?
Yeah, really good guy. Like everybody else.
Yeah, just like everybody else. But like, it was really interesting because, like, there is a lot of legal sides of things that you want to make sure, one, you protect. Like, for example, before you ever talk to a developer and before you ever want to say anything, make sure you get an NDA signed.
Oh, right? Come on.
Yeah. OG, I'm going to slap you. That's going to be, they're going to shut it off right at that. They're going to shut it off right at that and be like, man, I need to get my NDA written. And they're not going to hear the rest of it.
You know, there's no point in dumping, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on the complete thing when you haven't validated the idea. So everybody really just needs to start simple and then move on from there. But what's super funny with that is before every single, I would say 50% of our conversations, I get asked, hey, you know, will you sign this NDA before before you chat with me? And my usual response is like, no. I don't want to sign an NDA. Like, you can tell me your idea, I'm not going to steal it. But from a legal perspective, how often are you encouraging these new people, these new software ideas, to really encourage and push an NDA? And when would the right time be to have somebody sign an NDA versus, I would assume, majority of the cases being the wrong time?
Yeah, that's a great question. And as a... as kind of a general rule of thumb, we know that a lot of people, many investors, won't sign an NDA. They'll just tell you no. So don't, you know, people say don't ask. I think that the NDA question comes down to a couple of things. First of all, if you're not using the right NDA, getting people to sign the NDA, you might not even know what you're getting. You might not be getting what you think you're getting, first of all. That's very likely. And second of all, you might be incurring some risk on your end by entering into a contractual agreement through an NDA. And by getting this contract in place between you and somebody else, you might have risk that you didn't even know you did. So there is a risk to having an NDA signed unless you know what's in it. I've told people, if you really want to have one and you don't want to pay an attorney to do it and you want to go pull it off the internet, go ahead. Just understand, you know, you're getting something that you probably don't realize. You know, you probably understand, and this isn't to say that non-attorneys don't understand stuff, because there are a lot of really smart people out there who knows inside and out. A contract looks like it's written really clearly, but yet there are half a dozen gotchas in there. And you just wouldn't know it if you haven't either been sued on it before or gone to law school or seen it with other clients and stuff like that. So it just, you know, you just wouldn't recognize it. So I would say, if you don't know what's in your NDA, I wouldn't press so hard to use an NDA.
Yeah, please. I was kidding. We don't. That's the thing. Like, we even did another podcast with a really successful CEO, Rob, who has started many different businesses, right? And he was like, no, if people really wanted to steal my idea, like, they don't know how much work it's going to be. Like, he's like, when I validated my idea, I told everybody about it. And guess what? Nobody stole my idea.
That's exactly
right. And that's really what it comes down to, is like, there is a right time for an NDA, but I promise you it's not when you think it is, right? That was one of the big things that I took away from it. It's never what you think it is. And honestly, Austin, how often have we gone back to our legal counsel for so many different things, right? We're always like, legal is it's literally, we pay a retainer, we pay a couple thousand dollars, whatever, for that advice. But how much do you think that can save us in the long run?
Well, really, I think that the whole point of legal is to make sure that you're not taking on risk, right? Making sure that you've got the right things in place. Or I think more importantly, from like an accounting standpoint, setting up like a legal strategy for taxes is an important thing to be considering early on too. So like, obviously a lot of people think talking with an attorney is like a scary thing, but I mean, they don't just work with you. They work with a lot of people ideally in the similar industry as you, and they can give you a lot of good direction or good advice. So at some point you need to really just sit down, talk with a legal person, because there might be something there that there might be risk there that you didn't think of, and there might be information there that you didn't have. So,
well, just one of the quick things that I wanted to say about that. So I've known Jeff for a while, and one thing that I really picked up from that podcast that you guys did with him is I had no idea that he just did monthly subscriptions as an extra option to where you can just have him on retainer. And that's a huge value, because a lot of time, like you were talking, Austin, they can just get really overwhelmed when they're talking to an attorney. They're like, oh no, $200 an hour. I better just talk really quick and hurry and get all my information back so I can save as much money as possible. But if you got them as a retainer, then you can just go and just use them as often or as infrequent as you need. So I thought that was really cool.
No, that is a super cool thing that he offers that. Next thing on the list, probably one of the most important things outside of validation, is actually setting up a brand. Now, when you're going and building a brand, a lot of people think it's just text, fonts, and colors, and that's really not true. I think Priscilla says it the best. The best way to think about a brand is the thing that you instantly think when someone says the name of your company or the name of you. If somebody is thinking something good, you've got a good brand.
Yeah, so my story is that I am a trained graphic designer. And I, had the full-time job in New York, came here, had some full-time job, and little by little started my own company. And really what I'm passionate about is building purposeful brand that have meaning. And what it is people are too often caught up in their business, especially startups, where it's like, ooh, I want this and I want that and I want it to look like this and I want, you know, and it's like, it's not about you. Mm-hmm. You have this idea to serve the client or this market. So now it's about that. It's about who you're trying to serve and that client and market. It's not about you wanting to be a certain way, right? So my process is that I like to do these brand strategy meetings with clients, and there's different levels, right? You can scratch the surface, you can go really deep. It overlaps, these strategies overlap a lot of a little bit of marketing strategy. It encompasses UI UX because we do go through client journey, right? So like, how is this person going to hear about your app? You know, how is this person going to interact with your app? Like in reality, a UI UX outlines, right, the whole day, right? Like, let's say, I don't know if it's a sports app, you know, that's the first thing they're going to see in the morning. And then, you know, could we send a little reminder, or like, we just try to, you know, that the client with the UI UX person thinks about all these steps, right, of how the app is going to get used. Well, as a brand person, we think about how the client is going to be exposed to that brand at the beginning, what they're going to see, feel, think, you know, and then what we want them to see, to feel, and to think when they're using the app, that transformation, because anything we touch, right, is a transformation.
Yeah.
Where we want to transform that client. So either making them their life easier or whatever the app is there for. Mm-hmm. And then after the last step is that advocacy, right? Like, how are they going to be so transformed that they're going to talk to their friends about it. They're going to become an advocate. They're going to be a complete user. Like, there's an app I can tell you that I love, and I talk to everybody about it, right? And it's just serving my need. And yeah. So branding actually, and I say this to every time, is not a logo, colors, fonts. Branding is actually the gut feeling that clients have about your company.
If somebody says your name and they know that you're like the app developer, you've got a good brand. But if you're just a name, then you don't have a brand. And so it's super important to put the time in to build a brand for a couple of reasons. And I think one of the biggest one right now is safety. So I think a lot of people are working on products that might be perceived as like not safe. And it takes a lot of time and energy to create a brand that everybody views as like safe and trusting and everything like that. So,
And to go along with that, and again, Brian introduced us to Priscilla as well. listen, we're going to get into this, why Brian has such a great network and how you guys can get that network as well. But Priscilla, she says, it's not so much the color, it's not so much the branding, it's the gut feeling you have when you talk about mm-hmm. a company. And like, yeah. For example, I'm going to talk about a company that has a good brand. When I think about Tesla, they have a good brand. It's not their logo. Like, their logo is not great. I don't even know what their colors are. It doesn't matter. But when I think about Tesla, I think about cutting edge. I think about like the technology. They're leaps and bounds ahead of everything out. Austin specifically knows a little. Yeah, their stock is where it's going. Like, but their gut feeling. Yeah. By the way, also Dogecoin. Thanks, Elon Musk, for that.
That was a funny one.
I'm in the green. It is skyrocketed today. But besides the point, like, your gut feeling of what Tesla is and when you see a Tesla and how you feel about it is different than the way you feel about Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, right? Because it's just a different brand. And Priscilla, she's incredible. She's a rock star. She's amazing. And like that, those are the type of conversations you need to have early on to make sure your brand and your gut feeling of what your company is in the right step. And I mean, Brian, how long have you known Priscilla for?
2 years.
Wow. I mean, everything she says is just like gold, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so I wanted to talk to you about this. So with brand, because just to quickly loop it back with Launch the Legacy just lightly, is we've got three essentially introductory packages that you can go with. The basic one, just to get to the point of figuring out what problem are you solving all the way to getting traction. It's essentially 12 modules. The fourth module, so just way before crafting your MVP, before launching marketing, like full intense launching marketing strategies, anything like that, is building your brand. But before you build your brand, you got to figure out your mission, your vision, your three strategic objectives. Like, who are you? Who is your team? Like, who are your core competencies? Because if you look at Tesla, like you were saying, Beaudry, no one looks at Elon Musk and say, oh, wow, that is a really charismatic guy. He just really controls a room, all that. But you look at that guy and go, wow, that guy can sell vision, and he can sell the lifestyle and the reason why people want to be part of his tribe. People believe in him so much, but it's not because of charisma. It's just because he is so dedicated to the vision of the company. And it's very, very top down that everyone who belongs to Tesla, all the customers who Tesla has, like 99% of them. My girlfriend just bought her second Tesla 2 weeks ago. And we love Tesla. We're definitely a Tesla family. And we get it because of the carbon footprint, because of what the lifestyle represents, because we're making a difference within the community to society, or at least we're of the belief that we are. So, but yeah, I mean, it largely goes to what Elon,
that gut feeling
starts with that. Yeah. The gut feeling, it starts with what he says about the vision, and that's how the brand and the marketing strategy and everything is trickled down from it.
Yep. 100%. Hey guys, thanks for joining us for part one of our season finale. We're going to be back here tomorrow with part two of this conversation, so come hang out with us then.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you found it useful, it would really help us if you shared it with a friend. Just take a quick second to text it or to DM it to someone who would also love this. It would seriously make our entire day. Also, if you want to go deeper, we have full-length videos of all of our episodes, show notes, and a lot more at strides.dev. There's no .com at the end of that. You literally just type strides.dev in your browser.
What else? Well, if you're looking to build an app, we want to talk to you. You can book your free strategy call and talk about your app with a pro at strides.dev. Thanks for listening. Have an awesome day.